couple of weeks ago, in one of the messages, we were reminded again of our identity, and our identity being who we are because of whose we are. And with that, we can step into any situation that we face. Today's theme is you can make a difference, or we all make a difference. The first reading is from 1 John. Our identity is that we are children of God. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. We have a second reading today, and this is from Luke. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. That's interesting, isn't that? Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, which he ate as they watched. And he did some convincing. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things." Over to you, Pastor Robert.
We're still in Easter. It always amazes me that when we get to Pentecost, in the old way we looked at the lectionary, the readings, or the Sundays after Pentecost, we called them Sundays after Pentecost, but now most of the churches call them ordinary Sundays. I wonder which great theologian came up with that one. Ordinary Sundays. In my mind, every single Sunday is the Sunday after Easter, because that is what it really is. Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. The Bible says that the resurrection is the pinnacle of all that Jesus did. It is the final victory of all that he accomplished on the cross. The resurrection, Martin Luther said, is the one thing for which we must keep our eyes focused on always, that Jesus Christ, well, let's just say, Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed.
We should do that pretty much every Sunday, in my view. Well, The text you've just heard, so I'm not going to read it all, just the very first part. See how much our Father loves us that he calls us his children. And that is what we are. If only I had that absolute confidence every single day. If only I was absolutely sure I am God's child and there is nothing and no one that can take Jesus away from me. It's one of those things that, and maybe I'm the only one here who's such a sinner that every day I wonder, how can God love me? And every day I need the reminder that God loved the world so much, that God loved me so much, that he gave his only son. And that because of my baptism, because of my calling by God, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, because Christ is in me, because I'm a child of God, I make a difference. Do you notice the subtle thing there? I did not say you can make a difference. You make a difference. You make a difference. Now, when it's you and I and we look at ourselves and often it's not modesty, but it's just reality when we think, well, everyone else is better than me. I still remember a guy years ago who argued with me that it's all right for me to preach. You're a pastor. You're closer to heaven and God than I am. And I said, oh, wow, that shocked me a little bit, I have to say. I thought I was the furthest away. I remember a lecturer at the seminary saying, do you know it's an absolute miracle of God that a pastor is saved? And the longer I've been a pastor, the more I agree. It's a miracle, absolute miracle. And so we think, oh, me make a difference? God, when you look at the Australia Day Awards and you look at people who get special awards, who am I? Just ordinary, nobody. But let me tell you, you're no cookie cutter. You're no sausage maker result. You are an individual. You are a unique child of God. And Jesus didn't just die for the whole world, but he died for you. When you were named at your baptism, God was saying, I gave my son for you. My Holy Spirit is filling you and you are my child. And every single day and every single breath you take is a reminder that you live and breathe by my Spirit, that you are the child of God. Better, greater, more wonderful than you could ever imagine because I'm at work in you and because you belong to me. I've always worried a bit about how I make a difference. I have to say that as a pastor, I often thought I made no difference at all. You know, you preach sermon after sermon, you walk out the door after church and ask people, what was the sermon about? Sermon? Was there a sermon? And you'd just think, what am I doing? You'd visit, you'd go talk to people, you'd pray with people, and then they'd say some stupid, dumb thing, criticise somebody, or become nasty, and you wonder, what's the point? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, I remember I read an autobiography by a missionary. And the missionary was just simply saying, look, he said, I know it's only a story, but he said, I have to tell you that when I get to heaven, I know there's no time, so I'll be worshipping our God and our Saviour. I'll be worshipping for thousands of years or whatever. But he said, there'll come a point where I'm going to search heaven for the person who brought me to Jesus. I'm going to search heaven for the person who introduced me to my Saviour. And I'm going to go up to him and give him the biggest hug and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, after the service, greeting everyone at the door, and this guy came out and he said, you know, I don't think emotional imaginary stories like that are very helpful. And I thought, oh, I missed that one, didn't I? And then a minute or so later, a young mother came out and she just flung her arms around me and hugged me and then stood back and looked at me and said, I'm going to be looking for you. I've never forgotten that. Never, ever forgotten that. And that was just an amazing thing. And the thing is that there are people that we could say that to. There are people we could say, you've made a difference in my life. You've helped me to be who I am. I said that only just recently to one of my old lecturers at the seminary when I saw him. And I said, I don't know how ever I've told you before, but you made such a difference in my life. You helped me to become the best of who I am. You made a difference. And he teared up. And he said, I don't remember anyone ever saying that. But I think it's so important that we recognise that we can help people see that they make a difference, but we also need to recognise we make a difference. And we can do that every day, and we're doing it now because we're children of God, and often we don't even know exactly what we're doing. Sometimes as Christians, we just do things because we believe that's what God wants us to do, and we don't see any results. We don't see how people walk away saying, feeling a little better, walking a little straighter, feeling a bit more comforted, a bit more reassured, saying, wow, someone likes me. Wow, someone appreciates me. We don't always know that, and yet that's what we do as Christians, because we don't blow our trumpets. We don't stop to think, wow, look what I'm doing for the Lord. Great work here. Everybody to be amazed and be wonderfully awed by my great service to the Lord. No, but every day God is using us and we are making a difference. Maybe, that's why from very early on in the church, we went from saints to saints. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul only uses saints in one way. That is people of God. Children of God are the saints. But human beings always seem to want to idolise somebody. We always want to look up to somebody. We always think there's others better than us, and so we make idols. Look at our sporting idols, our acting idols, our singing idols. We even call them idols, Australian Idol. We always have to look up to somebody. And so we started calling special Christians saints. Of course, they had to be better than us, so they have to perform miracles, they've got to do all sorts of things and be far better than a normal human being, and then we call them a saint. I think the Apostle Paul would be horrified that we call him Saint Paul today. I think he would be upset with that, because we are all saints. We are all equal in God's eyes. And I truly believe that we are crazy when we set aside people and call them saints. Mother Teresa was an amazing person and was one of the most difficult people on earth to live with, according to all the stories I've read. She was a pain in the neck. She was cranky, but she was determined. She was focused. And she was absolutely focused on helping people in need. And to do that, she walked over some people and she got what she wanted regardless of whether people liked it or not. And that made her a wonderful child of God. But saint? We are saints because we are the people of God. He calls us his children. That is what we are. If I went up to my wife and said, Sadie, you are my wife, And she'd look at me and say, yeah, by the grace of God. But that's what she is. She and I recognize each day as we give a hug and a kiss that we belong to each other. We are united with each other. We are husband and wife. That's what we are, and that's how we expect to act every single day. No matter how often I get cranky because she's happy and singing and joyful all the time, driving me nuts, but let me say that sometimes it's when I just want to be grumpy and she won't let me, it's very hard. I have to tell you, it's a great cross to bear. So, but that's what we are. We are the children of God. When you are tempted to doubt that, when you want to start thinking, I can't be a child of God because I can't be forgiven, because I haven't done the right thing all the time, because my faith is no bigger than a mustard seed, because I haven't done this, said that, don't pray enough, don't read the scriptures enough, don't this, don't that. Come back to this statement. God calls us his children. And if God calls us his children, then that is what we are. Are you going to believe your doubts, the devil's temptations, or are you going to believe God and what he says? He calls you his child. And that's what you are. That's what you are. And then John later on talks about, well, since we are God's children and we're waiting for Jesus to come again and we don't yet know what we're going to be like when we get to heaven, we need to live in purity. And the thing is that the moment we start talking about holiness and purity, that's when the Pharisaism in us comes out. That's when it's so, so easy to start putting legalism into place and saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to be like this, you've got to be like that. Soon as that happens, as soon as we start judging what purity is, we have lost God's grace. We have lost our assurance that he's our Father and that we are his children. Because suddenly it comes back to, this is what I have to do for God to love me. This is what I have to do in order for God to keep me as his child. And that's always the temptation. I always remember there you are, see, old age. I had the name and it just went. Anyway, an author from long ago who said, there is a hair's breadth gap between truth and heresy. A hair's breadth. There is a hair's breadth between the pure gospel and legalism. There is a hair's breadth between saying I can do whatever I like, it doesn't matter, God loves me, which is not right. Or between, I have to show and prove to God that I'm worthy to be loved. There's a hair's breadth there. And will we get it wrong? Of course we do. Are there people who take the gospel for granted and say, I can do what I like? Yes. Are there people who hear the gospel and then say, yeah, that's all very well, but I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to reach this standard of purity? That is also true. And so every day, we don't get any of it perfect, but we live every day striving to be the people of God because we're the children of God. I remember this quote. I remember when he said it. I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Now, I know who he was dealing with at the time, a particular form of the church at that time. And I remember that at that time it was Christians who were in favour of apartheid when he was down in South Africa. I remember that it was Christians who had a lot of control over the slavery issues, and many who claimed that slavery was all okay according to the Bible. So I remember this is how many people think today. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. And part of that is simply because we've forgotten, or we forget we are God's children. And then if you're a child, you act like a child. You know, I often said to my kids when they were younger, you know, when I die, just don't even entertain the thought I'm going to leave you any money. I said, if I die and leave you my good name, be grateful. And that's kind of what it is, that we live in a way that God is honoured when we serve him. God is honoured in the way we deal with other people. That God is honoured in the way that Jesus honoured the woman caught in adultery, who said, is there no one to condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And he said, well, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That's the attitude we have towards the people who do not yet believe in Jesus. They're the people that we need to show the greatest love and compassion for. Not judgment, not point the finger, not tell them they're going to hell and give them nothing else in return. But where we show our love and compassion to people who are simply struggling to get through life. And sometimes I'm just overwhelmed the more I see the variations of people, the different types of people, the different situations of people in our world today. When I think that in Sudan, they say 24 million people are on the verge of starvation from civil war. Just one place. Don't worry about Israel and Gaza and Ukraine and I could go on naming them. We are God's children. We act as God's children. And that doesn't mean going around saying, I'm pretty good. I'm holy. Look at my pure life. But rather people want to see, I love the Lord and I depend entirely upon his grace. And so I confess my sin. I admit I've sinned. I am not ashamed to show my sin so that you can see the grace of Jesus Christ in me. So you can see that my sin doesn't lead to fear or to anxiety or to despair, but leads me back to hope and peace and joy. I've always loved this one because I struggle with it all the time. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, yeah, right. But anyway, apart from that, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. I think Paul would have been wise there to say, try to imitate God or something like that, but he says, imitate God, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. That says so much. For Scripture, and I remember what Paul says this. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Pharaoh was not a believer in God. God said, I raised you up, Pharaoh, to demonstrate that in spite of you being the most powerful man in one of the most powerful kingdoms on earth, I am God and you're not. I'm the one who has the power. I'm in charge, not you. And I like to think that's what God says to me. Voight, I've put you here for a purpose. That I can show my power in you. I can show my love and compassion and forgiveness to you. In you, so that my name may be proclaimed wherever you are. I remember him saying to Joseph, saying to his brothers, don't be upset, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. That was to Egypt. They wanted to kill him. Instead, one of the brothers managed to get him, agreed to sell him to slavery. Finished up Potiphar's place, remember, and he got accused and finished up in jail. Then finished up second in command to the Pharaoh himself. He says, it was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. So it was God who sent me here, not you. Think you don't have a purpose? Think you don't make a difference? Oh, man. Well, if you still think that, I'm going home. I've done no good at all, because this is just the most amazing revelation of God's will to you today. You make a difference. God works his will in you. And I just like the last part of this, that in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. You do that simply by being real. A real saint, a real sinner. Luther spoke about sinning boldly. He simply meant admit your sin. Admit you're a sinner. Don't try to hide it. Be who you are, because in recognizing your sin, you recognize the grace of God that allows you to continue without fear. Then in this one, the last little bit here, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So, this is my prayer. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And as you're able, we'll stand and sing our next... Oh, no, we don't. We've got the creed, is it? It's the creed, I think. We'll stand for the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.